Welcome to Olive Hill Missionary Baptist Church. We are so glad that you've come today and that you're ready to worship our Lord and Savior. I mean, I will tell you, what a joyful time that we had in the Lord last week. And looks like we're going to be joyful again today. So I'm so thankful that you're here to rejoice with us. Turn with me. Where's Dan? You're doing duty again today, by the way. Turn with us this morning to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts, the 16th chapter. When we trust God with our lives. One of the things that is... Have you ever seen... or been an example of a trust fall? A trust fall? Chloe, come here. Okay, I want you to stand right here. Okay? Right here. Stand right here. And you trust me?
No.
Okay, she has good reasons. Okay, don't look at me. I want you to fall backwards. No, you caught yourself. No, you gotta completely trust me. I'll catch it. I will, I promise. Trust me. Oh, there we go. See? Oh, you don't know how much I want to just fall away, back away. That's trust fall. That's when you're putting yourself totally into someone else's hands. I don't like doing that because I don't trust very many people. The fact that she actually let me do that is quite amazing. God wants us to trust Him. And a lot of folks have a hard time trusting God with that. And so with the picture we're going to have today in Acts, the 16th chapter here, is a couple of guys who just totally trusted God for everything. It's amazing the difference in a person's attitude and their persona, if you will, if they trust that everything's going to be fine versus fearful and despondent. So let's just read, starting in the 25th verse, what's going on here with Paul and Silas. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who there were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before him, bore them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. The situation with Paul and Silas was they were unfairly in prison. Now, we may complain of the prison system today, but it's luxury suites compared to what Paul and Silas were. They were probably in stocks. Yeah, you know. They probably were bound in chains. There were probably lots of little mice and rats around, gnawing on them. And yet, there was no complaining. There was no, "God, get me out of this. I can't believe you did this to me. I was doing what you wanted me to do, and here I am." You know what they were doing? They were actually singing praises to God, and I believe probably doing some preaching to anyone they could hear in that place. And that just carried, they just kept on and on and on. I am sure that there was some telling them to shut up. But he just kept on. And there's this jailer hearing it all. Wondering. And every one of them wondering, how can they be so happy in this particular situation? They were singing. But in their hearts, they had security. And they had satisfaction. Why? Because they trusted God with their lives. They understood that God was in control. They had let God come into control. And they trusted Him. "Okay, God, I know whatever happens here is in your will, and I'm going to trust you with it." I'd have been looking for a way to escape. I've been trying to bribe the guards. I've been doing everything in the world trying to get out of it, not Paul and Silas. What they were doing, they were singing praises to God. The prisoners heard them. The jailkeeper heard them. And what a witness they were. You see, when we trust God with our lives, it satisfies the saints. Nothing else in this world, no matter what happens, when we trust Him with our lives, can dissatisfy us. And when we trust Him in that way, when we go through things of this life that are hard, that are wrong maybe, they're difficult, when we trust Him with our lives, there'll be people watching us. And how we react is how they're going to see Christ, how they're going to see your faith, and how they're actually going to view Christ. And all those folks in that prison, prisoners and the jailkeeper, they got a witness that they could not believe, that couldn't be believed. You see, the world is looking at us, whether or not we're really trusting God or not, in this same way. When we become fearful, when we become despondent in this life over things that ultimately God is in control of anyway, the world's watching, and they're going to make their judgment of God based upon your reaction. We show the Savior. Now, I'm not sure how all this worked, but the scene here is with Paul and Silas were in the stocks. They were singing and praising God, probably doing some preaching along the way. And all of a sudden, the earth moved. An earthquake. And amazingly, no one was hurt, but all the shackles were loosened. And this poor jailkeeper, if he was to lose any of his prisoners on his watch, it would have been his life. And so he recognizes that everything's shaking. The prisoners, the doors are opening up. The prisoners are going to go free. And he realizes in that moment how close he was to death and shame. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've actually been that close. The realization that you could die. Things change in your life when you have that experience. Your priorities change. He had no hope. And so he took his knife and he was about to stab himself instead of facing the agony of what was lot in store for him. Supposing that all the prisoners were gone. And before he could do it, Paul says, Hey, stop. Don't. We're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. I'd have been gone in a New York minute. I'd been out of here. I certainly would have been. But no. You know why they weren't? Because they were exactly where God wanted them to be, doing what God wanted them to do. Witnessing to those folks in that jail. So we find here, and one of the key things is a question. He says, don't harm yourself, we're still here. And so the jail keeper takes him outside and says, look, what must I do to be saved? Okay. There are a lot of folks, he says, well, he's just asking how he can get out of his troubles. No, he was out of his troubles already. They didn't leave. He could have been the hero. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about what he had heard just moments earlier before the earthquake. He was asking about, how can God save me? How can I be like you? How can I put my trust in Him like you have? He shakes the sinners. This whole world needs to be shaken. It does. It needs to be shaken. And shaking and shaking. You know how he shakes the world? Through our praise and through his word. That's how he shakes the world. The word of God is heard. His praises are sung. And the Spirit works on people's hearts. Oh, he does. This man was convicted. He was convicted. A couple weeks ago, we saw a whole bunch of conviction going on, didn't we, fellas? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Alex. Yeah. I didn't do anything. Miss Terry didn't do anything. We got up and the preachers didn't sit there and point their fingers at them. You've got to be... Now, we didn't do any of that. All we did was preach the word and sing praises to him. And 10 young people came forward and said, I know he's real now, and he's talking to me, and he wants me to be saved. That's it. Now, the Bible tells us pretty plainly that no man can come unto the Father unless the Spirit draws him, calls him. Does it mean that there'll be some that doesn't? He doesn't know. If he's going to call, sometimes people are just take themselves away and from the Spirit and they refuse to answer. In a 24-hour period of time, 10 young people came. you had to be there. This was not one of those cases. I'm saved. My buddy's saved. I'm going to be saved. No. Each and every one of these young people, God was speaking to their hearts, calling them. And they all decided at that moment, at that point in time in their lives, that they would trust God with their everlasting life. That's what happened. And so this jailkeeper His life literally flashed before his eyes. He was going to take his own life. And then he realized that there was hope. He had just heard about the hope that Paul and Silas was talking about. This Savior, this Jesus, who could save them. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, what do you say? And that's the question. What is the answer? How do you get saved? How are you saved from this present world into a life everlasting with Christ? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. In a moment, you're saying, I hope it's a moment. But in a moment, we're going to be showing you the ordinance of baptism. And baptism, according to scriptures, is totally separate from your salvation. It is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. He took upon the sins of the world, became and coming dead to his own Father. He died, was buried, and when he come back up, all those sins were washed away. And that's exactly what he's done in everyone who's professed him as Christ, who actually came in. You were dead walking with your sins, spiritually speaking. And when Christ, when you put your trust and hope in Christ, he came in. He took away those sins. You were in fact buried, and when you come back up, you had a new life. Baptism doesn't do that. Baptism just shows what was done. You see, that's the way to be saved. Believe. That's it. It's not a matter of whether you're good enough. It's not a matter of whether you go to church or not. It's not a matter of, you know, my good outweighs my bad, so he's got to let me in. No, the only thing that matters to him, if you'll believe and accept his gift of everlasting life, that's what you have to believe in him. You see, you have to trust him. You may not know all the details about what happened to you when you come to know the Lord, or what may happen if you decide to accept him as Savior. You may not know those details. He says, don't worry about it. Trust me. I'll take care of you. And continue to trust him. What must I do to be believed? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And here's where a little problem comes in. He says, you and your household. Now, I was saved, but I didn't have anything. My salvation had nothing to do with the rest of my kids and my family. But if they believed, they could be saved too. Go on to the next verse, Joey. Let's just go through it. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Okay? They spoke the word of the Lord to him. I wonder what he was saying. Probably talking a little bit about Jesus and about how he went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. Probably a little bit about how he rose again on the third day and about how you need to trust him. He spoke to not only the jailkeeper, but he spoke to their families. And in verse 33, we see the result of that. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes. And immediately, he and all of his family were baptized. That was the next step. in the what God wanted them to do. They were a saved child. They were saved. They had the jailkeeper and his family. They said, I believe, I trust you with my life. And he gave them the gift of everlasting life. And the next step was for them to be baptized. Can you be saved and not be baptized? Absolutely. There are many who are that position. But I can tell you, without publicly acknowledging what Christ has done for you in your life by baptism, your life will be, your spiritual life will not be as fulfilling as God wants it to be. The blessings won't be as great as they would be if you did. He wants us to stand proud and say, I am a saved child of God. And that's what these young people have done. They're standing and saying, let me show you what God has done for you, for me. This particular instance shows us, well, number one, it shows Paul and Silas trusting God in their lives. They were already saved, but they continue to trust him. Then you see the jailkeeper, who, amidst all the doom and despair that he felt after the earthquake hit, he was just willing to end his own life, but he knew that there was hope because of Paul and Silas. And I believe with all my heart that the jailkeeper was being convicted by the Holy Spirit of God to a point where he said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Trust him. And he did. Guys, we can get all theological and we can tear it apart, try to figure it all out, but it really just boils down to trust. When God speaks to you and in your heart, you need to trust him. Say yes. I've thought about it a long time. And I've never encountered a conversation that I've had, or anyone else, as a matter of fact. And if you've had a conversation, please let me know. But everything that God has ever asked me required a yes. It required a yes. Want to be saved? Yeah, I want you to be saved. It required a yes. Took me a long time to say that yes. You want to be baptized? Well, I had problems with that too, but I said yes. And then go about 20 years later, and he's calling me into the ministry. I want you to follow me into the ministry, give your ministry. I struggled a little bit, but not near as long, until I said yes. You see what I'm talking about? 35 years old, and God wanted me to go a whole different direction in my life. It'd been easy to say no. I got my life planned. But I trusted him. And you can too. As we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know your relationship with God. But I do know one thing, that in some way God is posing you a question today, one that requires a yes. Would you trust me? Yes, Lord. Okay, then do this. That could be your salvation. Maybe you're here today, you've never been face to face with Jesus spiritually. Maybe he's never called on you. I kind of doubt it. If you've heard any kind of gospel preaching, you've probably heard the call. Maybe you've ignored it. And he's telling you, you need to come to him as Savior. And if that's the case today, just say yes. Say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what's going to happen after this, but I trust you. And you come. and you bow down before him and say, Lord, I give you my heart and my life. I trust you with my whole entire life. Maybe you're here today and you are a saved child of God but never been baptized. You really need to follow him in baptism. Because that's going to be the number one conversation between you and God is going to be that. Until you do it. And the blessings, well, they're pretty awesome. Of being able to stand up and say, I'm a child of God. Maybe you're here today. And you're saved. Child of God, faithful, there's still something else he wants you to do in your life. You need to do it. You need to trust him with it. So as we stand and we sing this verse of invitation, this is your opportunity, this is your time to come and make whatever it is wrong right with God as we sing.
Number 538. 538. Thank you.